from ABC News, World News This Week. I'm Chuck Sievertson in New York. Coming up.
I was just trying to protect my family. And at that point, everybody in that room was my family.
And I just booked it through the store. And all I kept saying was, don't trip, don't fall, don't look back, just run.
Empty chairs at the Thanksgiving table as gun violence plagues America again.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick.
Holiday shopping underway and giving thanks.
We're donating 60 pies made from scratch by employees across the company.
The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Not once, but twice this week, as Americans were getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, two mass shootings leave a dozen people dead, dozens more hurt, and families grieving. At the beginning of the week in Colorado Springs, Colorado, police say a shooter opened fire at an LGBTQ club. Five people died and more than two dozen others were hurt. More from ABC's Matt Gutman in Colorado Springs.
Clothes and medical supplies left strewn on the sidewalk, remnants of the panic and chaos there. Survivor Joshua Thurman was celebrating his birthday and was dancing inside Club Q when he heard those gunshots.
It was so scary. I heard shots, broken glass, bodies. It was, how? Why?
Police say the initial call about an active shooter came in just before midnight. Officers dispatched the scene, arriving within about 3 minutes. 2 minutes after that, they say, the alleged gunman was detained. Police say the suspect suffered injuries and had to be hospitalized.
Police also say they credit the work of a couple of quick-thinking patrons who were able to take the shooter down. ABC's Alex Stone, also in Colorado Springs this week, has the story from one of them.
Richard Fierro, an Army veteran, is telling us his story. Police say he saved numerous lives by going after the shooter. He was in the club with his wife and daughter and his daughter's boyfriend to see his daughter's friend perform when the shooting started.
I just know I got into mode and I needed to save my family. And that family was, at that time, everybody in that room. And that's what I was trained to do. I saw him and I went and got him.
He says he grabbed the shooter by the body armor. The shooter's AR fell onto the floor. And he took the shooter's handgun and started beating the shooter over the head with it.
And when I pulled him down, I told him I was hitting him. I want to kill you.
And even though Fierro likely prevented many lives from being lost, he can't get those who died out of his head, including those who died, his daughter's boyfriend.
I tried to save people and it didn't work for five. Okay? There's five people that aren't home right now. And I thank God, and it's Thanksgiving. I went through this at Thanksgiving in Iraq, man. We lost the dude.
He says exactly how it went down is a little bit fuzzy. He remembers another man helping him hold down the suspect and somebody in drag stomping on the suspect with a high heel. He says he's not a hero. The police chief here disagrees. Alex Stone, ABC News, Colorado Springs.
Fierro also says he got a call from President Biden.
It was an honor, and I don't care who the president would have been. It's an honor to speak to a president. In my whole life, I would have never thought I'd speak to a president.
The massacre prompting vigils across the country, like this one in Houston, and messages of support for the LGBTQ community. Colorado Governor Jared Polis, who is the first openly gay governor in the U.S., called the shooting horrific, sickening, and devastating. But the shooting also stoking even more hate online. Here again is ABC's Matt Gutman.
The think tank that monitors hate speech online reported a shocking 613% rise in hate speech targeting the LGBTQ community. They're saying that that is being parroted by politicians and influencers online, and the think tank is concerned that this could spur even more violence.
The suspect, 22-year-old Anderson Aldrich, was in court this week facing first-degree murder and hate crimes charges. Aldrich appeared via video link and was seen badly injured and unable to sit up straight. Investigators have begun pouring into the suspect's background, but ABC News has learned that Aldrich had a prior run-in with the law last year. That case was dropped, and the details of it have been spotty. ABC's Aaron Katursky explains how the 2021 incident didn't send off any alarm bells when the alleged shooter purchased firearms.
Most of our system relies on an arrest and a prosecution in order to actually pop a flag on someone. And that system has just proved deficient. This suspect in Colorado Springs was arrested in June of 2021 for making an alleged threat involving a homemade bomb and weapons. And even though no explosives were found, was charged with menacing and kidnapping. But the case does not appear to have been adjudicated. So it did not raise any flags on a background check when it came time for the suspect to legally purchase the assault-style rifle that police say was used in the shooting.
Police and prosecutors say they can't talk about last year's case. ABC News also obtained a Facebook post from Aldrich's mother hours before the shooting. Here again, ABC's Alex Stone.
ABC News has learned not long before the shooting that the 22-year-old suspect's mother posted a message on Facebook that only her friends could see, saying her son was missing, that they were set to go see a movie at 10 p.m. He went to go run an errand with her phone and debit card, and that he never came back. She posted that he told her to get ready to have the best night ever. Shortly after that, the shooting unfolded. Alex Stone, ABC News.
ABC News has also confirmed that Aldrich legally changed names in 2016 from Nicholas Brink after being bullied online. According to Aldrich's public defender, Aldrich is non-binary and uses they-them pronouns. But one former friend says he doesn't buy that.
Not once during the time that we were friends did both me or his mother ever refer to him by they-them pronouns.
Have you ever heard him say, "I'm non-binary"?
No, never. Ever. Never.
Xavier Krause telling ABC's Matt Gutman that it doesn't add up.
I personally believe that it's just another insult to the LGBTQ community.
And that Aldrich was a gun enthusiast.
When he showed me these big weapons, I had expressed, I'm like, dude, I've never seen a weapon like this. I've never touched a weapon like this. Like, these weapons scare me, like, you know, and that's when, you know, he told me it's not the guns that you've got to be afraid of, it's the people.
Just days later, another one, this time in Chesapeake, Virginia, at a Walmart. Police say six people died when a gunman opened fire and then turned the gun on himself. More from ABC's M. Nguyen.
Police identifying the gunman as 31-year-old Andre Bing, a store manager who allegedly walked into the break room and opened fire on his co-workers before shooting himself. In that room, Jesse Wilcheski saying it appeared Bing was targeting certain people. She says at one point, Bing pointed the gun at her but didn't pull the trigger, believing it was because she had just started 5 days earlier.
He just looked at me and said, "Jesse, go home."
The city holding a candlelight vigil Monday night at the Chesapeake City Park to remember the victims.
Also at that vigil, bells tolling at a church to honor the victims. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says those who died ranged in age from 70 to 16.
Six employees were killed. Lorenzo Gamble, Brian Pendleton, Kelly Pyle, Randall Blevins, Tanika Johnson, and a 16-year-old now identified as Fernando Chavez Barron.
ABC's Dave Packer says authorities also found a note left behind by the shooter.
The 9mm handgun used by Walmart manager Andre Bing to kill six of his co-workers was bought the day of the killings. That from Chesapeake police confirming a search of his home where they found a receipt and other paperwork for the gun, as well as a box of ammunition. Police also released an apparent death note found on the gunman's phone, complaining about his co-workers, referring to murder, and asking for forgiveness. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Breonna Tyler was in the break room at the time. She tells ABC's Terry Moran about the moments before, during, and after the shooting.
I'm still processing things. I can't get the visual out of my head, but I'm okay physically, of course, but just mentally and emotionally, it's definitely a lot to take in.
Tell us about those moments. You said processing it. What are you processing?
Well, I was literally just getting to work. Our shift is from 10 to 7, 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. I got there a few minutes late. About 10:06 is when I clocked in on my phone. I walked to the break room like normal. That's where we have our nightly meeting of where everyone's going to be, you know, stocking their particular section. And, you know, I'm just standing there. There were a few things that seemed like off to me about that whole night that just they stick out to more to me now that that situation has happened. Just different things like the maintenance man who actually the first person to end up getting hit. He actually went around the entire room and gave everyone trash bags, which he doesn't normally does. So that stuck out to me. And then like when I walked in the room, something in me told me not to sit down. I don't know exactly what it was, but something just said, just stand up, just stand up. And I just stood up the entire time. And as soon as the team lead said he was about to get the meeting started, he said, all right, guys, we have a really light night tonight. And as soon as he said that, the supervisor or the manager just came around the corner and literally just opened fire and just started swaying his arm back and forth. He didn't have a target. He didn't, you know, he wasn't aiming for anybody specifically. He literally was just shooting and across the entire break room.
How did you keep yourself safe? You just hit the deck. Did you run?
I honestly, at first I froze because I thought I was in like a simulation. It felt fake in the very moment because I'm literally looking at this man and I see the smoke leaving the gun, but it's just not registering to me because I think it was the fact that I recognized his face. If it were someone that I had never seen before, then I feel like it would have been realer in that moment. But the fact that this is somebody that I worked with and I talked to and I was next to every day, it was just like, this can't be real. And so I saw all of my coworkers, you know, diving onto the floor, and I'm just looking around like, what's going on? And then once I saw blood, I was like, oh, this is really real. And then that's when it processed that, like, you have to run or you're gonna die. And then I just booked it through the store, and all I kept saying was, don't trip, don't fall, don't look back, just run. And that's exactly what I did. I just ran straight for the front door.
Tell us, if you can, a little bit about the supervisor, about the shooter. You said you felt uneasy about that employee meeting leading up to the shooting. Was it because of something about the supervisor, about the shooter?
He was just the supervisor that everyone warned everybody else about. So when you first started at that job, it was like, okay, this is the supervisor that is most likely going to pick on you, or he's going to have an issue with what you do and things like that. So, you know, I had it noted in the back of my head that, you know, okay, cool, you know, we might run into an issue, but I never thought that it would be anything to this extent. Because like I said, he didn't say anything. He didn't point to anyone specific. He didn't aim at anyone specific. It was like he was just out to get any and everybody that he worked with. He genuinely just did not care.
And Brianna, you said it was a handgun that he was using?
Yes.
Have you got a sense of how many shots he got off?
He let off probably about 8 to 10 in the break room alone. Like, he was just literally just swaying his arm back and forth, and he was just shooting. I would say he let about a whole clip out, I would.
And, Brianna, you say you've been working at that store for just a couple of months. What more can you tell us about the suspect? Did you have a sense that this was a guy who wasn't right?
I mean, he always gave off like he was, like, the loner type. Like, he was quiet and to himself, I will say that. He just, you know, he gave off the vibe that was just like, you don't talk to him unless you have to. Like, I've never once had like a joyous, fun conversation with him. It was always about work and that was it. So whereas with everybody else, you know, a lot of people, they laugh, they joke. I have other supervisors that I can, you know, talk to casually. But with him, it was always just like a straight shot. Okay, this is what we're doing. This is what it is. So he wasn't like the fun, bubbly type of person. So I can't really say anything about him other than everybody just about had a trivial issue with him at one point. But nobody, right. I don't think anybody could have ever guessed that he would take it to this extent.
You know, Brianna, I must say, I'm just so impressed with how strong you are in this moment. It's
a terrifying
situation. I mean, have you learned, I mean, it's early, but have you learned something about yourself and about life? Or is that just a ridiculous question?
No, not ridiculous at all. I would honestly say, even though it is still early, I know that I'm handling the, and I know it's going to set in more, but I know that I'm handling this a lot better than most people. So I would just say it's definitely taught me how strong I am. And just to really live life to the fullest. Like, I'm 28 and I have a 4-year-old son, and that, seeing my life flash before my eyes, I feel like it definitely taught me that life can literally be taken from you at the blink of an eye. Like, you can be doing something as innocently as trying to go to work, and your life can get taken from you that fast. So I would just say, just reach out to the ones you love, keep an open relationship with them, do your best, like, just be a good person, because at the end of the day, you genuinely never know when you will look your child or your mother in their eyes again.
There have been more than 600 mass shootings so far this year in the U.S., and it's all prompted another call for gun reform by President Biden.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. Just sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None.
The president, while spending the Thanksgiving holiday in Nantucket, also said that he wants to renew legislation that would ban assault weapons. But ABC's Mary Alice Park says that might be tough to do.
President Biden is passionate about this. He said he's going to continue to try to get votes for this in Congress. But of course, passing any ban like this would be an incredible uphill battle. The reality is he couldn't get this done when Democrats had control of both chambers. And of course, next year, Republicans will control the House.
Both shootings and some of the heightened, hateful online chatter put law enforcement on a renewed alert ahead of some traditional Thanksgiving gatherings. In New York, millions lined the streets of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Here again, ABC's Aaron Katursky along the parade route, who said the day went off without a hitch.
The marching band from Mizzou leading off the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade for the 96th year. And right behind, Baby Yoda, one of 16 giant character balloons, fully aloft. There's no wind. There's bright sunshine, blue sky, a picture-perfect day for this essential day on Thanksgiving.
The holiday shopping season is underway. Adobe Analytics says that consumers spent a record amount on Thanksgiving, even after some major retailers started offering those deep discounts as early as last month. But analysts also say that shoppers could be feeling the pinch thanks to inflation. More from ABC's Brian Clark.
Avery Hartmans is a senior reporter at Insider.
Shoppers are really fatigued after months and months now of high gas prices and high food prices. And I think that heading into the holidays, they're just not going to spend as big.
Best Buy CEO Corey Barry tells ABC News they're working to provide lower prices for families with less to spend on the holidays.
Consumers are paying more for the basics like food and fuel and housing. And so for us, it's really important that we provide great deals.
Retail experts Trey Bodge urges shoppers to proceed wisely.
You're going to see great prices everywhere. Everything's going to look really exciting. Stop, take a beat, check your list. Is this something that you need? And then do a little digging to find out if you're getting a really great deal.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
And as holiday gatherings increase, health officials sounding the alarm about an uptick in respiratory illnesses and the flu in not only kids, but adults too. More from ABC's Maria Villarreal.
In San Antonio, Natalie Torres took her 2-month-old daughter, Kalani, to the hospital because she was struggling to breathe.
She was trying to gasp for air, like she didn't want, like she just kept throwing up and everything.
She says they waited 10 hours for an open bed. But it's not just the young getting sick. Older people are being hospitalized with the virus RSV at an alarming rate.
Still no definitive answers for investigators or an arrest after 4 University of Idaho students are murdered at an off-campus apartment earlier this month. Police are asking the public for more tips and have said this week that they don't consider the 2 surviving roommates suspects. More from ABC's DeMarco Morgan.
Police revealing they've collected 103 pieces of individual evidence, combed through more than 1,000 tips, and conducted 150 interviews, but continue asking the public for more information.
We ask anyone with any information related to what happened with these 4 who are in our community, their interaction with others, to get that information to us.
This after police revealing they were told in interviews Kaylee had mentioned a possible stalker.
The lights coming back on in some of the hardest hit areas of Ukraine this week. Officials there say the grid is connected back to the European Union system, but many areas are still without power and heat. It follows an intense missile campaign by Russia that hit all corners of the country. More from ABC's Marcus Moore, who said at one point, doctors in the capital city had to perform surgery on a child in the dark.
Officials say 75 missiles and drones rained down across Ukraine, one of the largest barrages since the start of the war, killing at least 10 people and injuring dozens more, while crippling the country's already damaged power grid. Millions without electricity in below-freezing temperatures across a majority of the country, including the capital of Kyiv.
Coming up,
we're donating 60 pies made from scratch by employees across the company.
Giving back this Thanksgiving when World News This Week continues. 'Tis the season for family, for food, and for festivities. But just before Thanksgiving this week, bakeries and volunteers embraced the spirit of giving. ABC's David Muir has their stories.
On this Thanksgiving week, across America, giving thanks. In Boston, the nonprofit Community Servings and their giant pie in the sky bake sale. For 30 years now, dozens of bakers across Massachusetts baking more than 18,000 pies.
Hi, David.
Joanne Chang from Flower Bakery.
We're making hundreds of pumpkin pies to donate.
Hi, David.
David Jafar from America's Test Kitchen.
We're donating 60 pies made from scratch by employees across the company. Happy Thanksgiving.
$30 a pie, 100% of the sales going to feeding families.
Hi, David.
Matt Gorkowski helping to pick up the pies.
I've got a van with me. I just picked up hundreds of pies. I've got another assignment. I'm headed out to grab a couple more.
Hello, David.
Arnold Tarmy carrying them.
I've been doing this for well over 10 years. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lynn. Goodbye.
In Hagerstown, Maryland, Leslie Riley and her company Mama's Biscuits, the recipe from her grandmother, more than 50 flavors now.
Hi, David.
Nikki, Maria, Alicia all baking for Thanksgiving, and Leslie proud to say they're hiring and mentoring.
What I'm most thankful for is my expansion, being able to hire this year and being able to bring on more jobs next year.
5,000 stores nationwide, 7,000 stores next year, and a mentorship program for bakers.
From Mama Biscuits to Worldbees tonight,
happy Thanksgiving!
In Lexington, Kentucky, Mr. Tyler Maynard's fourth and fifth graders at Glendover Elementary School collecting canned goods for weeks, donating them to Sisters Road to Freedom, serving families in need. 2,126 cans for Thanksgiving.
Hello, David.
Mr. Maynard's students.
I want them to have food for Thanksgiving.
And back in Massachusetts.
Hi, David.
Ubadume and his four-year-old son, Sankara, grateful for the help this Thanksgiving.
I want to say thank you, everyone, and happy holidays.
And a final wish from Mr. Maynard's students.
Happy Thanksgiving!
And those are the people and events that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Joy Piazza. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.